Turn with me to Psalms 3. I'm going to be reading out of the Passion Translation. So maybe you want to open your Bible, maybe you don't. I don't know. I know it can be so different. It begins by saying, O Lord, I have so many enemies, so many who are against me. Now, let me say immediately, there's probably only a few of you that have actual enemies. That's actually true, that are people. There are actually is not that. We don't have that many people that are actually enemies. You may have people that you perceive as an enemy because they offend you or they've done something to hurt you, but they're not actually against you. They're just, you know, they're just in life and being who they are and you're being who that you are. You may have intense feelings, but for us, what is legal, actually only this is legal, is it is not legal to put people's names when we say enemies that you go equals, you know, my wife, you know, you're not allowed to do that. It's illegal, you know. That's actually a big Christian principle. You are not allowed to identify, call people that. You're not allowed to go there. That's tough, isn't it? But, and what is it? Because what does Scripture say that we fight against? Well, first of all, it says you don't fight against. What are those? People. Those aren't plants, you know. And they're not referring to your pet. They're referring to people. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but what do we fight against? What's our real war? We are in a war. We're in a battle. What is the real war? Principalities, powers, powers of darkness. So it is spiritual. It's demonic. Now, those are real enemies. Now, in the event that they are motivating people, people can be out to kill you, but most of us don't have that, okay? But even if we do, we are commanded to love them. So if someone falls under the category of enemy, like they really do, they threw a brick through your front window last night, they ran over your dog, I mean, you know, and they did it spitefully to get back at you, then yeah, you got an enemy. You have someone that hates you, you know. And but you're still not allowed to treat that. You have to treat them as, you have to love them, right? Now, scenario in our mind, the psalmist is talking about this. David was aware he had enemies. He had people that hated him. They were out to kill him. There were people, there were nations. They had weapons, okay? So you realize we don't live in that real life for the most part, but some people do and some people did. But the concept, there is a reality, though, that there's an enemy of your soul. There are things against you. There are many voices. Now, we have to identify where do those voices come from, because there are words to this. We have phrases and words that come from places and people in our mind, and they're in our minds. And one of the worst voices is your own voice. When your own voice has turned against you and speaks against you. And I would probably hesitate to say that, except that I've had enough confessions from all of you that I know how you talk about yourselves when no one's around. I know what you say to yourself in the mirror. I know how you talk to yourself when you make a mistake, especially a big mistake or a bad mistake. Do you go, oh, it's all right, you know? It's just money. No. You're like, you're idiot. You're stupid. You know, this stuff is there. And I would encourage you to be aware of it. It needs to go away. It needs to stop. So whether the enemy is an outside enemy or whether it's an internal one, it all must come to closure. We've got to get success over them. We have to get a victory over these. So it goes. The psalmist goes on to say, "Listen to how they slander my soul, saying, look, even God can't save him from this sorrow. Even God can't save him." So there's a phrase that may be turned in different ways in your mind, but this is that thing. This is the equivalent of what gets said. Even God can't save you. So you may have a great start. You may be a real go-getter, overcomer, all of those things. Sooner or later in life, you're gonna hit the wall. You're gonna hit something that's really tough to get over, something that was probably undeserved, something it may have been deserved, may not have been deserved. It won't matter. If it hits and it hits hard, it tends to really you stumble over. It takes you out. And this is the plan that is laid from your true enemy for your life to sooner or later take you out. And once he's lost the battle to keep you from coming to Jesus, then even after that, there's still continually a snare laid to ensnare you, to entrap you, to take the wind out of your sail, to get you to stumble, to get you to fall. Many Christians deal with disappointment, things not turning out the way they thought, something happening. They're like, but I was doing this and I was doing that This comes, like, where does this come from? I wasn't like, and we'll start the scenario. I didn't live like them. Why do I have this trouble? I didn't do what bad people do, and I have this sickness. I have this loss. I have this situation. So the scenario argues, but the enemy doesn't care where you go with it. Just so it gets in, and the blame starts, and the accusation starts, and the voice is there. And pretty soon, you'll perceive people as your enemy, whether they are or not. And then there's this phrase that the Passion Translation uses, that Brian Simmons uses, slanderous to the soul. And I went, oh, that's an intense word, slanderous. And the definition to slanderous... the action or crime of making a false spoken statement that is damaging to a person's reputation. So how serious do you think that in your soul, in your thought life, are slanderous accusations? Can you hear me now? It is not okay that this is active in your mind, because if it's there, then you'll perceive it's from everybody. That's why this is so important. It never just stays there. It then gets applied, and pretty soon you're bumping up against this thing because it's active and alive. And if it has access and it has a place in your mind, if it has a voice, then pretty soon you hear that voice from everything and everybody that you're around, even the people that love you. Now you're really in trouble. When you perceive that the people that actually love you are an enemy, and that can happen real fast, you go down this. And it begins when you move in, when stuff happens, life happens. We're on the planet, yeah? This isn't heaven. This is terra firma. This is earth. Happily ever after is coming. It's not here yet. We're not at happily ever after. We're at getting to happily ever after. Happily ever after may start here, but it is not without stuff happening. no matter what you do, how you live. People that break all the rules and live really horrible, immoral lives can get sick and die. People that live very moral, concrete, steadfast lives also can get sick and die. Okay, we go, okay, what's up? Well, you know. So the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. I'm like, stuff happens, and it happens to all of us. It happens to whosoever. And you can really stumble. You can almost cope with things when you go, I deserve that. Opposed to, I didn't deserve that. I've been good. I've done well. On this, the voice, even God can't save him. So he goes on to say, but in the depths of my heart, I truly know that you have become my shield. We're trying to make a real emphasis right now in this season in our lives. Phyllis and I are, and I want all of you to really take another look at this. This is all connected to offense and getting offended and what happens. It begins so often with a voice or perception or some incident, something, and this happens to you, and it causes your heart to move into something. It causes you will either before or after the fact sin if you get offended, and you will definitely after the fact have your heart wounded in it. There will be an impact on your heart. And the impact goes very deep. And a lot of it has to do with how you process things that come at you that you perceive are negative. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't, but it doesn't matter. And in the moment, I want to take time with this because I'm still trying to get my hands around it. And I would encourage you to meditate on this. What, not just a dictionary definition, but what does it mean to move into this condition of heart that you are offended? And I know we live in a region where this is a stronghold. You can get out of this region and not struggle with this as much as I know it's here. I don't know where else it is, and I don't know where else it's not, but I know it. I know it's here. This is something that we have in common just because we live here. The water has certain things in it. The soil has certain things in it, and the atmosphere has certain things in it here. I want you to take a moment to really examine, ask yourself this question. It will be a question that lingers and goes on with you as you leave. How many of the decisions of your life and how much movement in your life was based or motivated by offense? How much of the movement in your life, how many of the decisions of your life were actually motivated by offense? Let's take jobs, changing jobs. That can be a very ordinary thing, I hope it's a good thing for all of you. I hope it always has been a good thing. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But here's the difference. There are times when it's time to move on from a job. There would be different scenarios, different situations. But we all also know that in a job that you've had at certain points, there you became offended. Maybe you were offended with the salary. It could be that, which you can sell that to everybody. I don't make enough at this job. I'm going to go get another one. That could be a fine thing unless you're offended with it. See, it's that little tweak of difference where something, you just recognize something, this isn't a good fit for me. I'm going to look for something else. See, you can do that without offense. Go, that's not right. It's no one's fault. The job is what it is. The boss is who he is, and et cetera, et cetera. But this isn't quite where this isn't where I really wanted to be, and it's just not quite right. I'm looking for something else where I can be more creative, or I have more time at home, or whatever. So you make a decision based on things that are you're not offended in it. But at the same time, if you are offended there, and then you begin to do all those movements, you can convince everybody around you that it's not for that reason, but you know it is. And once you make a movement out of offense, you are a sitting duck. You can do the same thing at churches. I probably should stay out of that. But we have new folks come. We kind of want, as new folks come and visit us, we really want to ask this question: Are you moving? Because I have a real soft place in my heart for how hard it is sometimes to find a church that you really fit into. Like I understand that it's difficult, and it's not simple. It can be difficult to find where do I belong? Where do I fit? But there's a difference between making the movement because you are offended there, opposed to, you know, we left, we made sure we were good with the leaders and the whatever, and it just wasn't, you know, we weren't fitting. And so we're looking for something, we're searching for something. And you can tell it matters hugely, because if you move with an offense, you carry that thing with you. If you move because of other reasons and you've prayed through it and you're good with everybody, then that's fine. Relationships. I mean, oh my God. I mean, it's socially acceptable. You know, why do you break up with someone? I mean, we don't use this terminology, but, you know, as we're going through all of the relationships of our life, finding the person that we're going to marry, and then finding the second person that we're going to marry, and the third, and the fourth, you know. I mean, it just gets almost comical. We were listening to Danny Silk, and what was the number? Him and his wife, as he does this, there's a video series I'm going through with Brock and Melissa and with Jenna and Kevin and whatever. It's been fun. And he's read the book, but he's talking, he says more things. And between his parents, both of his parents had both been married three times. Both of her parents had both been married three times. Both of them had. He said between the two of them, there were like 15 marriages or something. Like there were that many, you know, complicated, you know, relationships. He's like, wow, you know. So he's doing, you know, the series that we're reading and using is defining your relationship. And the introduction, if I get my couples through the introduction, if they keep coming back, that's good, because and Nick and Natalie have got them going through it too. Is I'm here. He goes, I'm here to bust you up. And you come in with your la, 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 we're so in love, and this is the most awesome person I've ever met, da, da, da. I go, I want to slap that off your face. Because that's all fun for a little while, but then you're going to find yourself married to this person. And it's going to take more than la, la, la to keep you together for more than a year. And we all know, you know, all of us are sitting here, amen. That la, 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 that gets you started, but it don't necessarily keep you going. There's got to be something more concrete. There's got to be something that you know is better established. That's more than that. That holds you together and causes that. And that's true in all of life. That's true in churches too, isn't it? You know, the first couple of weeks, someone comes here. Oh, this is wonderful. We're like, give it a little bit of time. Just give yourself a little bit of time. Let's see how you manage the first time you get offended with me, you know. I think it was Chris Valentin that posted something on Instagram. You don't really know a person until you confront them once about something. Now let's see what's going on. It's tough, isn't it? It's like that changes things. Now, again, this isn't about condemnation, but it's really, I think it's really important for us to understand how many times we're motivated because we're actually offended. Offense is that judgment, and then you really activate it when it comes out of your mouth. And interesting, Jesus Jesus, he's always saying things that are just like, you know, spot on. That Jesus. And if I can get my phone to cooperate here. And it's in Matthew chapter 15. And this shows up several places, but in one place in verse 11 is one of the places. And he says something that's backwards. He says, now, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, that defiles a man. And of course, this is in the Hebrew community where they were so concerned about what they ate and washings and all the ceremony of all of life. So they're very concerned about all that. Jesus comes along and said, oh, don't be so worried about what you eat, what you put in, because it's actually what comes out that defiles the man. So every time you move into this thing called offense, and I would encourage you, we all need to really get a grip on this, because it can hide and you can excuse it as other things. But there's a movement in your heart. It's a judgment and it's a real thing. It's like hate. How do we define hate? I'm not sure how to define it, but we all know when we're there, don't we? Well, all of a sudden, there's a different thing in our heart about something or someone or whatever. I hate this. I hate them. I whatever. You know, I loathe this. There's a connection with the word. Even if you can't put it all in words, there's a connection with that word and a feeling. Yes? Like, yep, I got it. You're all not like jumping up to go, oh yeah, I know what that is, Pastor. I don't blame you. I just hold back a little bit too. But so there are things we know it because we've experienced that. We understand that. And offense is something we want to identify because it's eating our lunch. It opens up doors, it brings a curse. It changes the flow of blessing that the Father wants you to have. You know, he's up there in heaven going, I'm a good, he's singing and playing his guitar. I'm being stupid, but you know, I'm a good, good father. You know, that's who I am. It's who I, you know. But that can't get to us. Once this moves in, the enemy has access to your life. He has access to close doors. He has access to bring curses. Folks, listen, I'm going to say something. Hang on to your seats. This is so true. And I'll encourage you, dial up Katie Souza, KATIESOUZA. Any YouTube video, find her, listen to her. She predominantly speaks to women, but she's like, rough background. She's like full on. She's even good for guys. She is not some, you know, mamby-pammy woman, you know, prissy type dressed in pink. She's like rough, been in prison. She'd been there, done that. And she has got a grip on this. She has an anointing to break the power of this. And that's what got us going on this. Something happened and I'm going, I've got that teaching on my computer. Maria's listened to it too. Like, actually, that's where the reference came, and I'm like, I bought it. Then I didn't listen to all the things that are on my computer. Like, I need to look that up again. I go in 3 minutes. I bring my computer out to the living room. Phyllis is sitting there. I'm like, oh my gosh, we got to listen to this. And she begins to talk and tell about this. It changes things. It shuts things down. And it really gets activated then when it comes out of your mouth. You've come into a judgment. And of course, why would it come out of your mouth? Because you're trying to find somebody to talk to about this because you're upset. You know that, I gotta talk to you. The next time your friend, your wife, your husband, whatever, has that, I gotta talk to you, just say, I don't know if I want, you know, slimed by it. I'm not sure. You sure? Do we really want to talk about this? Because once it comes out of your mouth, now you're in full blown, and this is only so you can work it out, right? We have all kinds of justification. Out it comes, and now it's out of your mouth. Man, we got to get this. Once that happens, boom, things get out. things get released that you don't want released. And now you got someone that's in agreement with you, and wherever two or three agree, and you can get sick. You know, there's all the struggle we have with viruses and bacteria and all this weird stuff, and I'm not exempt from it. I really, so much of it, like this is where we're going to stretch Melissa in our medical profession, but doors get open. I mean, we're still trying to deal with the common cold, right? I know, take Tamiflu, whatever. It's still quite mysterious, and a virus acts more like a demon than it does anything scientific. And that's the truth. I've listened to scientific people go, this thing has a mind of its own. It recreates, it procreates, it changes every time it comes back around. That's why the flu vaccine never stays the same, because that thing's always moving, becoming something. If it gets outside the box enough, it can wipe out millions like that pandemic. Boom. Why? Because we have no immunity to it. It's close enough now, we still survive it. We get sick and throw up a little bit or this or that. I'm outside my pay grade talking about this. But anyways, so many things get opened up when you defile yourself by moving into offense. You don't have to do this. You don't have to participate. It's like Obamacare. You don't have to participate. Pay the penalty, whatever. They don't have to participate. You don't have to go there. We're like, oh yeah, I do. I have to go there. They did this. It offended me. And I'm righteous in it. No, you're not. There's nothing righteous about it. It's unrighteous. And putting a good face on it and getting it all contained and trying to hold it in, it doesn't work. Can I just tell you, eventually it gets you anyways. So even if you hold it all in, you've got it all contained, it still comes to get you. What does a world look like with a people? See, we have this word, and Diane reminded me of this, that one of the trips that her and Craig made, and I don't know who else was with you guys when you did that, but they went out to Kansas City, and they got this word. There was this word. Does the word brothers mean anything? And this one guy's like, I've got a brother here. Wasn't that how it was? And finally, Craig's like, well, that's my last name. You're the one. And then what's the name of your church? Fellowship of the Beloved. Diane said the whole church, the whole place went, aw, you know. I'm sometimes thinking the name's corny, you know, like I don't know why. What I prayed and the Lord gave me that name, you know, but bad on me. And then they got this word that was had to do with the brothers, but it was very connected to our church. He's like, yeah, you're the one this is for. And we were going to be a people unoffended. Is that correct? Is that correct? You'd be a people marked by being people unoffended. That's to be one of the characterized. That's one of the signature things about us. That's what it's supposed to be. I'm not saying we're there yet. We're not. We're trying. We're getting closer, but we're not there yet. Do you know that you can correct something or call something evil without being offended, without even judging? You are able to discern, to describe things, to identify things, and to confront things. That's not the problem. The problem is this movement in our heart that we take offense at something. And it can be any place and it can be anywhere. While I've got you in this passage, then we're going to move to one more thing and then I'll close. The next verse is in chapter 3 of Psalms. But in the depths of my heart, I truly know that you have become my shield, taking me and surrounding me with yourself. Your glory covers me continually. You alone restore my courage as you lift up my head and I bow low. The footnotes for this. Taking me. The Hebrew means, this word is, you, O Lord, are my taker. God shields us by, get this picture, this really impacted me. God shields us by taking us into himself. He shields us by coming, and have you ever taken a child, a little one that's running, and just, I love, just you just grab them up. They are now powerless in your arms. There's some little ones around here that need that. And for one moment, all that energy, all you just get them off the ground. They have, you know, and you've got them. You know, you've got them. Hopefully they're not screaming angry. You're playing with them. Sometimes it's not that. But anyways, you take them into yourself. Like they're totally in your arms. And I picture the Lord, he takes you in. And this is where the healing can take place, needs to take place for our hearts, because our hearts are wounded. Every time you move into that, you defile yourself. It's not simple. You need healed. You've not only sinned, but you need healed from that. You've now got a disease. You're now contaminated. I talked about the pine tree in my backyard with these weevils. It's seeping, dying slowly, sap because the weevils bore in. Once you take on offense, you may not die tomorrow, but you start a slow death. I want a lot of believers walking around about half cooked. Managing, because we know the behavior, but not alive in our heart. That is not our destiny. That's where passion goes then. Passion's gone because we're not fully alive, because we've been contaminated. And we need our heart healed. And you're totally at the Lord's mercy for that to happen. I can give you some instruction, but there's not a formula for this. And to identify, I need healed and touch from this. Okay, let's go into something bizarre. In Exodus 19. Boy, I pray that's where this is. That's not it. I meant to save that in my, Numbers 5. Anybody else have this thing where your memory is a scary place, like, you know, counting on it? Is it there? Is it not there? Nah, never mind. Just me. Come on. Okay. I remember teaching out of this. I don't know what the point was, because we definitely weren't looking for unfaithful wives or adulterous women in the church, so it wasn't that. But in the law, it was this. This is what this was about. Like the concerning unfaithful wives. And here's how we put this to rest. And the story is, a jealous husband comes and accuses his wife of cheating on him. This is up close and personal, and it's in the Bible. Ashley always said that. Don't worry about what you watch on television. The Bible is rated X. As a young teenager, it's like, wow, that's what's like blows my mind. Some of the stuff in there, hold her back. And there was this thing that the woman was to come. I'll just begin to read in verse 11. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, if any man's wife goes astray. Now, I don't want to know why the same thing didn't apply to men, because, you know, it just, whatever. It's how it is. I didn't write the book. And behaves unfaithfully toward him, and a man lies with her carnally, and it is hidden from the eyes of her husband, and it is concealed that she has defiled herself, and there was no witness against her, nor was she caught. If the spirit of jealousy comes upon him, and he becomes jealous of his wife, who has defiled herself. Don't get offended with the scripture over this. See if we get offended. Yeah. Anyways. This is rough, but it's real life. Spirit of jealousy comes upon him, and he becomes jealous of his wife who has defiled herself. Or if the spirit of jealousy comes upon him, and he becomes jealous of his wife, although she was not defiled, she has not defiled herself, then the man shall bring his wife to the priest. He shall bring the offering required for her, 1/10 of an ephah of barley meal. He shall pour no oil on it and put no frankincense on it, because it is a grain offering of jealousy. Oh my gosh. Thank you for the blood, huh? An offering for remembering, for bringing iniquity to remembrance. And the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord. The priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel and take some of the dust that is on the floor of the tabernacle and put it in the water. Then the priest shall stand the woman before the Lord, uncover the woman's head, and put the offering for remembering in her hands. This is scary. Which is the grain offering of jealousy, and the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that brings a curse. The bitter water that brings a curse. Remember that. And the priest shall put her under oath and say to the woman, if no man has lain with you, and if you have not gone astray to uncleanness while under your husband's authority, be free from this bitter water that brings a curse. This bitter water that brings a curse. Interesting phrases here. But if you have gone astray while under your husband's authority, and if you have defiled yourself and some man other than your husband has lain with you, then the priest shall put the woman under the oath of the curse, and he shall say to the woman, the Lord make you a curse and an oath among your people. When the Lord makes your thigh rot and your belly swell, and may this water that causes the curse go into your stomach and make your belly swell and your thigh rot, then the woman shall say, amen, so be it. Oh, yeah, right, wow. This is one of those chapters in the Bible where you're like, this is like, this caused all kinds of, where's simply Jesus, you know, like. It's interesting that it's called the bitter water, the curse of the bitter water, and takes it in. I'll read this for this point. I refer to it. And Katie Souza referred to this, and I went, oh, what an application. When you become bitter, and when you become offended over something, you're taking a big drink of water. And you are guilty, and it will affect your body. That's why I say, if this interests you at all, listen to Katie Souza, because she's got some amazing testimonies at her own life. What would happen? What would happen when she would get offended? And what would happen to her physically when she got offended? She would put on weight. Different weird things would happen. And when she would repent and pray and the Lord would heal her, the weird things got reversed quickly without any explanation for it. When you allow yourself to be offended and then you speak it and share it with someone else and get a witness, oh my God, are we so guilty? And what gets confusing is it can be right on the pathway of righteousness that you get offended. That's like, what am I, how can I be offended? I'm in church. Katie Souza, once she gets saved and gets rocking and rolling in the right thing, then she's touring. And her confession is, I was so angry, and there was every day, everything that I went to, there were things to be offended with, and I'm coming home exhausted. I'm putting on weight. I'm angry. I'm whatever. And she's out doing ministry. I'm doing all the things. And I'm this because this stuff is out there. It's crazy. But you can't avoid it. Stay away from the church. It'll show up somewhere else. It shows up. It's about learning how to manage life without going there. You're allowed to be hurt. You're allowed to struggle with things. It's that movement in your heart where you take on an offense and you distance yourself and you start traveling the other direction. And you do things and you don't realize you just drank the bitter water. and it's going to affect your body. It manifests even in your body. That's pretty real, isn't it? And I wonder how many things we're going to the doctor for, and this is the root of it. I wonder how many conditions we have, and we're calling it this, that, and the other thing, but it is affecting us, and it wreaks havoc on body, soul, and spirit. You don't want to start your life like that. You don't want to be in your, and it doesn't matter how you want to avoid this. You want to call it what it is and acknowledge it. Don't drink the bitter water. Identify the things and take a second look. It's not complicated. You'll know, right? Your heart will let you know, and your mind will bring, because this stuff rolls in your mind. And all of a sudden, something will come back to you. And if it does, don't blow it off. Don't explain it away. Start praying. Father, you may not even understand. Jesus, I got offended back there when that happened. I got wounded first, wounded second. Doesn't matter. I got offended. My heart went into a judgment. We're not allowed to do that. I'm offended over that thing, and I need my heart healed. I need to repent. I acknowledge it. I want free from the curse of that thing. And it can be, it's that simple once we get this exercise down. And if it doesn't, and it's one of those things in your life, it's one of those things, if you're not over, and you can be offended with God, you can get real offended with God. He can mess with your head on any given day. Not because he's trying to, just because he's who he is. And if he doesn't fit who we think he should be, then we can get offended. I trusted you. Yeah. And so let's develop a prayer life that when you recognize it in your heart, you don't have to go find anybody. Just start praying. Lord, wow, I see that. There's feelings. There's something there. Something happened there. People can just disappoint you, and it can become an offense. You go, well, that's stupid. Well, it may be whatever it is, but it happens. Because at the end of the day, we are all only who and what we are, right? Imperfect in our relationships and our stuff. And if you try to live a life of never letting anybody down, good luck with that. And the harder you try, and you will fail, you'll be offended. Because you tried so hard. You'll get offended with your children. You'll do everything you can to make their life perfect, and they'll still get in your face. Like, whoa, hold that time out. And out it comes. I gave birth to you. You know? Then you're calling to remembrance all the pain and whatever that you went through with them. It was all fine a minute ago. But if you're going to get in my face about something, young lady, I'm, you know, back at you. What's up with that? Hey, mom, are you over it? See how quickly? And so we have to guard our hearts and about things that happen to us. It's okay. It left a mark. And you need touched. And I want to access this heal, this taker, Jesus the taker. I want to access Jesus the taker. I want him to take me in like this. Even now. Even right, even here, and take me and heal and touch this. I want him to heal, because if you don't get it healed, you are going to be a hot mess wherever you go. You're going to have to start wearing full body armor. Because is there anything more sensitive on your body than a spot that is damaged or inflamed? I chewed up the inside of my thumb with a power tool several years back. And there was nerve damage. I'm fine, functions, feels a little funny. But if something touches right there, I mean, it's one of the most pain. Nerve pain can be one of the worst pains. I'll just be carrying something like a rod or whatever, and if it gets into that part of my, I mean, I yell out before I have a chance, like, ah, it hurts bad. What is that? There's damage there. Like, Jesus, you can heal that too, you know, like, that'd be good. That'd be good. Because that's my hand I carry things with, and there's always something. I'm always protecting that. What, some of you have hearts that look like that. There are sore spots, and you don't have to live your life with those. There are inflamed spots because it hasn't been healed. Hasn't been healed. Let's pray. I don't want to belabor this. Father, in the first place, I just want to ask you to open up every area of our life. We're going to stop living and trying to forget everything and block everything and protect ourselves from ever encountering stuff again, living in safe zones. The new epiphany, Jesus, is that I can be healed so I don't have to live like this. I can be healed so that I can go places and people can say things that used to bother me a lot, and because I'm healed, my heart's healed, it won't matter that much. It won't have the same effect. Bring to our memory offenses and help us to understand what it really is, what happens in our heart, how to identify it, and that it's bad. We need to repent from it. Intentionally or not intentionally, we need healed, and we need to stop rehearsing the scenario and just pray until the healing comes and deliverance comes. So forgive us. We plead the blood over our offenses. Offenses with spouses and offenses with children and offenses with people at church and offenses with people in the community and offenses with teachers and offenses with leaders, both great and small, because they've let us down, because they did something that caused an offense in our heart. You promised, you gave us a word for our body that we would be a people unoffended. Wow. That means we'd be a people that are free and strong. We'll be a people that have strength to go through the battle and don't go in with sensitivities and limps and brokenness. I ask, Jesus, that you will be the great taker, Psalms 3, and take us in. Heal us by taking us in. There's no heart that you don't want to heal. We consider, we hold ourselves in contempt, as we talked about last week. We may hold the world and ourselves in contempt, but you do not. Heal our hearts. You would love to make us whole. You never tire of making us whole. You never tire of making us whole. Father, we pursue this. So as things come to our minds, things we usually run as scenarios, we're going to start praying aggressively to bless people. Stuff comes to your memory. Bless them. Do not curse them. Do not rehearse the scenario. Forgive them. 99% of the time, they did not intend to hurt you. Bless them, forgive them, repent from where your heart went with it. And ask Jesus to heal your heart, men included. Ask Jesus to stop trying to tough it out, stop trying to say it doesn't matter, stop all the self-talk that isn't the Lord. So Jesus, heal my heart. People have let you down. Of course. Of course they have. They're people. Stop it. You're the one that had the big expectations. They just were in a place doing the best they could. Father, we release people from disappointing us and from letting us down. We've let people down. We've disappointed people, and there's no way to go through this life without that happening. So we accept our own failures and we accept their failures. We forgive it. We forgive it. And let us go to the depths of this so we can be powerful and free. Truly free. Truly free. Truly healed. Make us whole. Make us whole, Jesus. And fulfill this word in our body that we'll be unoffended. That we'll be a people that live without offense. Oh my gosh, what does that even look like? A people that live without offense, a people that can suffer injustices and not be offended with it. Inconceivable, but the word is there, the promise is there that we can be that people. And we ask that in Jesus' name. There is healing in this as well, physical healing that's directly connected with getting your heart healed. Maria, did you want to share something? Yeah, yes, absolutely. There you go.
I'm back one day, and we'll listen to a message, and I'm like, yeah.
Good.
But I wanted to share this. When I got a hold of Katie Souza, I had this really traumatizing event that kept happening in my life that not only caused a physical trauma of fear and mourning and emotion, but I was also offended by it because it came at the hand of somebody else. And I said to the Lord, I knew this trauma kept coming into my life and affecting me physically, emotionally. I was really a mess over it. Rick and Phyllis remember this, but I said, it can't be that my body, my mind, my emotions can be affected so much by somebody else's choices. This can't be the kingdom. And I began to pray for direction on how to handle this. And I was on, it was like 4 a.m, I had a newborn, and so I was watching God TV, and it was right when Rory Alec, if you guys watched God TV, had fallen, and Katie Souza was on there talking about how this happens to somebody who's so close to the Lord to fall like that, and she started talking about soul wounds from offense and from trauma, and that was it. I took off with it, started listening to her, and started practicing it, just like Rick is teaching, and I'm Italian, for one. It's innate in us we don't forget. what you did to me, I won't forget it. And there was always this pride in my family of, we don't forget and we don't forgive. And I grew up like that. And I began to not live that way. And not only that, but it was harder and harder and harder for me to get offended. And I would actually, somebody would say, you know, did I offend you? And I'd say, no, it really and truly, it did take, and this is over the past 2 years, it takes a lot to offend me because it takes a lot of work for me to get healed from that. So, and the practice of doing that really does make it harder for you to get offended. It had changed me until I had baby number 4. And we were all set up for this to be a quick, easy delivery because they had been easier and easier. Number 4 is going to be way easier. The doctor even said, you got to get to the hospital because this baby's just going to come. It ended up being my longest, an 18-hour delivery. And I'm laying there going, what's going on? Lo and behold, after it was all done, my doctor and I both realized my epidural. My anesthesiologist had told my doctor, she doesn't do well with pain. Now, listen, I'm Italian. Again, I pride myself on, I'm tough, you know. And my last baby was natural, and I had Pitocin, and it was like, wow, I birthed that baby without any pain relief. I was so proud of that. And I was like, he thought I had low pain tolerance? So he gives me this elephant tranquilizer of an epidural, which not only numbed my legs, I couldn't feel them, but it stopped the contractions from pushing the baby down. So I laid there for 18 hours just waiting and waiting. So once I got this little bit of information, oh, I was mad. I was so mad at this anesthesiologist. And I'd say to Brady, I can't believe he did that. And he'd say, but we're over it. And I'm like, no, I'm not over it. I told everybody, oh my gosh, you know, I was so mad. And I was holding on to it. I was not willing to do this, like, Lord, heal my heart. I know, you know, that you can restore this. And I want to forgive him. And no, I was holding on to it. I'm not kidding you. I have not had the flu in years. I mean, and I took all kinds of natural things to prevent it this year. I gave it to my family. I got the flu, literally, in the middle of holding on to this offense, proudly holding on to this offense. And nobody in my family got this flu because they were taking all this stuff to prevent it. So was I. And I got the flu. And I knew. I told Phyllis we were in the car because I had, you know, pneumonia stuff going on afterwards. And I'm like, man, I said, I know I got this flu because I was offended with this man. And so I've had to work on that and not talking badly about him and forgiving him because really, you know, whatever, not a big deal. But, you know, I have to choose that every day. When it starts to come up, it's like, no, Lord, heal my heart. Heal, restore my heart. So when he was talking, I just felt like I needed to share all that.
Wow. Yeah, that's good. Exactly. It's that real. It's that big of a thing. And it's never without repercussions that we go there. And stuff happens. It catches you. You're doing good, and it catches you unaware. And all of a sudden, you're into this. And it really affects us. So anything else before we dismiss? Pay attention to this. Let's all get free. All of us, like all of it. Eradicate this thing. It will really bring passion back to the church, too.
Yeah, I just want to share this part. Katie Sousa talks about the cross. The blood is what you cover yourself with. The resurrection is yes. What you apply on your heart. And so you have the power of the resurrection inside of you. And as you cover yourself with the blood, as you cover that person, as you cover situations in the blood and you repent and you just, Lord, I'm not going to stop until I don't see that anymore. All I see is the blood. I had a situation where I couldn't get rid of an offense, and it was like, it was there. And the Lord said, cover this and don't ever look at it again. If you see that, you should see red. And I remember I just began to go, nope, this thing is covered by the blood. It is red. There is nothing that I can see. I would not allow my mind to picture or think. I just saw red. And by doing that, it freed me from the offense. And so then you move into, and I just want to be more specific. He yeah. said this, but yeah, I want no, to be more good. A little more specific.
That's good.
Then take the resurrection. Take the power of the resurrection and apply it to the wound, because you will get wounded if an offense comes. And if you sin, sin causes wounds. People don't admit that. They don't realize that. Sin will cause wounds. And so your soul needs healed. And take that and apply the resurrection to your soul. My soul needs healed when I sin or somebody sins against me. So you just simply, soul, be healed by the resurrecting power. The resurrection of Christ heals you. And do it until you find release. Don't go, well, I did that twice. Or I did that three times and it didn't work.
That's a big...
Or I did it four times and it didn't thing. Work. You go back until you can go, wow, I don't have a need to tell somebody that they hurt me. Do it. Because you made me excited when he said that we're going to be a people of no offense. I thought, wow. And I think I shared this last week, but I'm going to share it again this week. During Bible study class, Kevin had a dream of wormwood. Yes. Wormwood is released during the trumpets, and it says it bitters the water. Wormwood bitters the water. And we just read that bitter waters bring a curse. And when you drink from bitterness, it brings a curse. And the interpretation of this dream Kevin had, it was phenomenal. It was right before we read about wormwood. It was the night before, and Kevin about freaked out when he read it, because in this dream, he went, wormwood, and... And we're sitting in class, and he reads wormwood, and he's ready to pounds out the door because it freaks him out. But he said this, that the Lord said, there is a principality over our area, and that is of bitterness and offense.
Yeah.
And I went, I concur.
Amen.
But when there's a people that go opposite of that, they make a place and they can move that thing out of their region.
Katie discovered the second step because she was starting to identify being offended and repenting for it, but realized she could do that and be totally fine and then go out and encounter the person or the situation offender, and all the feelings were back. And she realized that, and that's happened to all of us. We're like, we pray about it. We go, okay, I got it. This is not good, and you repent. But if you don't get that healed in your heart, it's just right back. It's still there. And so then we're confused because we did this, we did it right, but we're still struggling with it. It leaves us very disappointed in the Lord, actually. It leaves you very disheartened. Like, okay, I'm trying to deal with this and I'm not free. Now what? Now where am I? I mean, that's always the problem in our walk with the Lord. We finally do the right thing and repent and give it to Jesus, and then we're still there. The addiction's still there, the problem's still there, the whatever, and in this case, the offense. And she discovered the second phase. We need to call on the dunamis power to heal our hearts. Our hearts need healed, or it'll continue to be a sensitive place and a place that we react to. And there's a big deal about the region, about it being in a region. And she said, you never have authority over something till you get free from it. And she discovered this in her ministry. If she wasn't free in a certain area, then she had no authority to minister healing to somebody in something. And she's like, Lord, I've prayed for backs before. Now there's no power to pray for these backs. And she went back and went and discovered there was something in her. It had ground in her. And until there's no ground in you, then you'll have authority. But as long as there's ground and the enemy has ground in you over a situation, you won't have authority over it. That's very convicting. Like, well, I want to have authority. I want to have power in my prayers. I want to have power in my witness. I want to have power. But we won't if there are areas like this undealt with, then you don't. So there's a lot of motivation here to go after this and eradicate this. And it starts in the small, simple. It starts right in your household, starts right with the people you live with. It starts in the simplest things. And it can turn your prayer life into you can be very busy. Because instead of talking to yourself and being upset or talking to other people, I'll just tell you, you got a lot to pray about. And you just start spending time praying about that until it's gone. This is the old way people used to get saved. They didn't do the formula thing that we do in our culture, our Christian culture now. They repented and asked the Lord to come in and encounter until it happened. They called it tarrying. And sometimes for long seasons of time, they would go after this. But when they encountered the Lord, they walked away going, I know Jesus. Like there was a whole different, they didn't have to be told. They had encountered it. They, are you forgiven? I know I'm forgiven. No one had to convince them. No one, they had prayed through. And we've got to reinstitute learning how to pray through something. Like you start and then just keep going after it till, because the goal is freedom. Because how many of you have been at meetings and you've prayed different things and it was good, you cooperated, it's a great choice. But keep praying the prayer till you're free. Keep going after it till you experience the healing, till you get your heart gets free. We keep going, I did that and nothing happened. That's the dumbest thing we could ever do. We do it all the time, don't we? Don't give up. Go, I'm going after this. I know wholeness is in Jesus. I'm going after him until I can become whole, till I get free completely. So.
And I have one more thing. You just heard for 2 weeks this word about not being offended. I guarantee you, you're going to get so offended this week because, I'm serious, because the Bible says that the word is sent out And because of the word, you will have testing, persecution. The enemy will come and steal it. The enemy will try, the worries and cares will try to choke this word out. So I guarantee you, which is an easy guarantee because it's so easy to walk out the door and be offended anyway. So it's like, this one's an easy one. But, so it's so true.
What are the chances?
But be aware that you're going to get tested because there is a word that gets sowed. This word will be a seed. And if you watch over that seed, you will produce 100-fold in this area. And Matthew, I think you read it last week. If you didn't, Matthew
56, 57.
Yeah, says this. Because they were offended, Jesus couldn't do any miracles. And it caused unbelief because of offense. And so there is a seed. Watch the seed. Protect it. Go after your offenses. And let's become a church that we have been prophesied to be.
It's a big key to our faith is eradicating. It's the offense. You don't look at it as the problem, but that problem. And we go, how do I believe more? Have you not asked yourself that question? How do I have more faith when I pray? And it's about eradicating this offense is a real, real big deal. And I get tested. Every message I give, I get tested. And I never see it coming. Phyllis has to go, Rick, do you know? Honestly, it's the weirdest thing. I should know better. But when it comes, you're right in the midst of it and you don't recognize what's happening. And so words do get tested, and it is what it is. The enemy wants to steal it. He wants you to have a crash on that so you stay away from there. So amen. God bless. Have a good week. See you next week.